We realize that most of you won't be able to fully appreciate the balls-to-the-wall lighting that is happening in front of you.
Hey everybody, it's Bosco Radio.
taking it down,
winding it down. It's
the low key 172.
This is an AM recording. This is kind of abnormal for us, I think. Hi, my name's Griffin Hoffman. You can call me Griff.
I'm Jeff Brewer. Jeff Brewer, guys.
I'm James Scherer, guys.
Hey guys.
Hey guys, what's up?
Welcome to my channel. My name's Jeff Brewer. You can check out my new content.
Like, subscribe, and what else do you do? Comment in the boxes below. You know what to do. Leave a message after the beep.
I'm going to let you guys know what I feel is okay in regards to sponsorship on your channel.
And the answer is all of it.
All of it.
Oh.
I love how there are all these, like, so I watch a lot of YouTube videos about people building computers and such, and there are so many videos about what type of system to build for X amount of dollars, and those types of videos are completely undermined the second that the YouTuber says, so I decided to go with the NVIDIA blah 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 that was kindly provided to me by NVIDIA.
Yeah, it's like, thanks NVIDIA. Yeah. You're the bomb. Power to the players.
Yeah. I think that you should choose to buy this thing that was provided to me for free.
For this video. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole problem with all, like, reviews though, right?
I guess.
I mean, at least they're saying it. At least the transparency is happening.
Well, then, isn't Steam trying to head this off at the pass by preventing people who get free copies of the game from providing user reviews?
Is that a thing now?
I think that is a thing now.
Sure. I know they were talking about overhauling their storefront, but I didn't pay attention.
Or if you get a free... So I reviewed Virginia, because there are a lot of people who are like, the character's black, I hate it. So I wanted to be like... I wanted to be like, no, it's good, you should try it. And so I reviewed it, and then when I reviewed it, there was a little box, and it was like, did you get this for free? And you click it. And
what
I don't know
if you don't? What if you
that
don't?
That kind of honor system is going to really, really clean things up.
What if you got it for free and you don't click it? Is it like, you're a liar? This reviewer's a liar.
That guy's a great big phony.
They revoke your Steam controller and your Steam link.
Oh, good old Steam controller, guys.
How's that doing?
Don't think I've touched that thing since it came out.
Yeah.
I used it for a day. It's good times, though.
Not for as science. Good as my trackball.
I want to get Jessica a trackball, but then she had one in freshman year of college, and then I made fun of it, and now she'll never get a trackball again.
Nice.
Not having to move your actual hand, like, around to move a mouse is actually amazing, especially, what? Like... If you're on a laptop, you just want to have, like, your hand in your lap or, like, on the side of the chair or whatever.
Go back to in my lap again.
If you want to put the trackball next to your balls and move it around, you can do it.
All right. You made yourself a sale, gentlemen.
Perfect. Another.
I want to thank Logitech for providing me with this trackball mouse.
Thanks, Logitech. Power you guys are on the forefront. So
are you actually intending on, like, playing games with the trackball, or is that for just, like, easy riding?
No. I'm studying for some boards right now, so I like to do it on my laptop, and I like to study, like, outside and in coffee shops like a stupid hipster. And whenever
Jamie's
I'm
just, he's just a tactile guy.
I'm just
he just
a tactile
likes
guy.
He just likes feeling things on his fingers.
And yeah, so it's nice when you're, like, at a desk that's way... So when I'm at my computer at my desk right now where I'm recording, when I'm, like, gaming, I like to have my keyboard and my mouse super low. And, like, if I don't have it, like, really low, then it starts to hurt. But if you're, like, at a random desk somewhere, like in a Starbucks or something, and, like, the desk is really high, it's better just to have this stupid, like, ball thing that you move around.
Doesn't your laptop have a nubbin?
My laptop.
Oh, the nubbins are fucking awful, man.
Whatever.
Despite being the nubbins.
Despite being a Lenovo, I do not have a nubbin. The nubbin would still be on the laptop's keyboard, which would be, like, too high. Like, I want to have
and
that.
And some people say the nubbin is myth.
I've seen the nubbin. Some if you have the gift, you can see the nubbin. Oh, goodness.
Well, more power to you. Whatever. I mean, trackballs are fun as long as you don't have to do anything, like, repetitive or useful with it.
Yeah, I agree.
I find that my trackpad is it's gotten to the point that it's, like, good enough on the Surface, because I have the Surface Pro 3, but I have the 4 type cover, and it's actually, like, a decent trackpad, which is surprising, given that it's, like, a floppy mess if you don't have it in the right... Like, the whole apparatus for the Surface can be kind of tricky if you don't have it on, like, a hard surface.
Can we stop talking about dicks and balls, finally?
this is a
podcast about video games.
Is it? And what are video games about, Griffin? What are they about 99% of the time?
Dicks and balls.
Yep.
Hey, yep. I have a question. What's Virginia about?
Yeah.
You want me to talk about... Virginia?
Is it about a state that has some flavor of the North and some flavor of the South?
It's about, first of all, you're playing this black woman. So
can you sing me about God. Sweet Virginia? Sing to me about Sweet Virginia. Bow, bow, bow.
It's a walking simulator, and it is kind of a unique one at that, because most walking simulators have you collecting like pieces of like documentation or reading letters and things like that. Or interacting with the world. They either have like a very strong narrative vocally, like Firewatch did, mm-hmm. or they have you like in Gone Home, searching for found documents, or a combination of the two, like in Everyone's Kitty. Gone to the Rapture.
That was my cat, guys.
And this one is really different because, first of all, it's super short. It's definitely the shortest one I've played. It's like you could definitely get through it in an hour and a half. I think it took me about 2 hours. It's different because it's so curated. They really wanted... I really get the sense that these guys wanted to really shoot a movie. But, like... I don't know. They ended up making a game instead. So
their hero is Kojima. They just wanted to make movies, but they had to make a game.
So there's weird jump cuts, which I actually can't remember ever experiencing in a video game. Like, if you have to walk from one point in a building to another point in a building, the scene will just end. Like, if you're in someone's office, you play... It's an FBI... You play as an FBI agent in the 90s, and you're trying to figure out a murder in a small town, very Twin Peaks-esque. And there's no dialogue, so the entirety of the story is conveyed to you via... character gesticulations and like facial expressions, which is a really kind of a feat considering that it's like super low poly count, but you definitely get the sense of what's going on.
They made warp points? Is that what's happening? Like you warp from point to point? Like you can fly on a mount? Tell me something I understand about video games, Jamie.
It's loot.
It's none of that.
Oh, it's like loot. Okay.
No. So, like, let's say you're in your
office.
Do you
have to play an ocarina?
You have to play an ocarina, and then you turn into a Deku nut.
Oh, okay.
Enough about the balls and dicks.
So, like, let's say you're in your office, and a scene plays out, and then the scene is done. You don't leave your office and walk to... the next person's office that you have to talk to. The scene will end, and all of a sudden you're in a hallway. And you take a couple steps in that hallway, and then that scene will end, and then you're in a stairwell. And then you will walk down like two stairs, and then that scene will end, and then you're in front of the person's office.
That's
so
super
So you literally have no agency in terms of where you go a lot of the time. It's literally like, here's the scene, you're here now, and then... You take the second you interact with it, even in a minor way, it's like the scene's done, and you move on.
Is it seamless? Are these jump cuts like really fast and like are you moving like fluidly throughout all of these jump cuts?
No, no, it's not. I mean, that's the whole thing with jump cuts. It's not fluid at all. You're in a hallway. You take two steps forward, and without any warning, the scene is completely different.
You know what games have actually done this before, and this is joking aside. David Cage games, Heavy Rain, Indigo Prophecy, games that are kind of from that movie perspective. So that sounds cool because I enjoyed that there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's amazing. It really lends to that sense of like the cinematic quality and
that, and it seems like it has more respect for your time.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It sounds, but if they're so like discreet and tiny, it sounds really jarring. Like I wouldn't want to like take two steps down a hallway and then suddenly I'm in a new area and I have to reorient myself and then take another two steps.
Well, you
like, is it really that small and contained each little cut?
Well, when this game does that, it does it in instances where, because of the story, you will have. If this were a real game, you would have had to make that journey multiple times. Like you would have to go from your office on a higher floor to your coworker's office on a lower floor multiple times. And instead of the game saying, why don't you spend 5 minutes navigating Langley and walking into the basement, it's like, all right, you've done this before. We're using this to convey to you in a story with no narrative that now you are going to someone else's office. They use it to good effect.
Yeah, I heard a dissection of it kind of the same way you're talking about it, Jamie, in that it's it highlights the important things that are happening, and because they are jump cutting away from something, you're like, oh, well, obviously that's unimportant that you're walking down these stairs. When it does linger in situations that normally you'd be like, maybe we should just jump cut, it's like, oh no, we shouldn't, this is important.
Exactly. So when it lets it breathe a little bit, even though there's nothing to find, there's only one collectible in the game and there's only like four of those in the entire game, so you are really not interacting or looking for anything in the game. You're really just looking for story clues on a macro level. So when the game lets you take your time and breathe a little bit, you really know that it's letting you do that, and you look around, you see what's going on, you try to figure out why the game is showing you this thing, because again, there's no narrative, so sometimes it just throws you into a scene and you're like, why am I seeing this? This has nothing to do with what just happened. And then it'll give you a moment to acclimate and figure out what's going on. I definitely don't think it's the best walking simulator that I've played. I absolutely love Firewatch, and I absolutely love Gone Home. I wouldn't say that I absolutely love this game. I would say this is a very good game that's certainly well worth the $9 or $10 they're charging for it, and definitely worth your hour and a half, 2 hours. And is doing interesting things that I think that people who make walking sims in the future will probably pick up on and put to good use in games that are even better. I think the game... So the game is like...
I think the real question is, can I play it in VR? The future, the future is now VR.
People are mad at it because the ending is super weird. I really like how the ending is super weird. I played it with Shannon. And, like, literally 8 hours later, we were at dinner, and we were talking about something else, and then she just stops the conversation, and she was like, but what happened in that game?
speaking of what happened in that game, I tried to look up spoilers for Inside, because it's, like, $20 still, and I'm like, that's too rich for my blood. And
what happened in that game?
I wanted to ask you. I'm like, all right, I'm probably not going to play it, and I already tried to look up spoilers, but the spoilers that are all tagged about the ending are so vague, I don't even know what's happening. So hit me
with Inside spoilers.
Yep.
Right, okay. Now.
What happens? All right.
You. So I think we got the same ending, Jamie.
The blob
turn into a monster, like a blob monster.
Yep.
You're like, so, okay, so this mermaid lady's chasing you throughout the whole game, and eventually you get caught by her, and she drags you down and drowns you, but you don't die, and suddenly you can breathe endlessly underwater after she kills you. Previously, you could not breathe endlessly underwater, but after she seemingly kills you and you fall way, way, way down underwater, you don't die. And then you move onward, and you end up in a lab where you pull out a bunch of plugs and then merge with this giant hulking organic thing that has like arms and legs poking out of it everywhere.
Okay.
Makes like these awful sounds like
oh, my favorite Pokemon.
Yeah, and then you break out and you, like, mow down gazillions of scientists while you escape. And then the game literally ends with you rolling out of the complex and chilling by the beach looking very pained.
Yep.
Perfect. $20 saved. Thank you.
It's pretty cool, though, I gotta say, because you move so fast, and it's so satisfying to just bowl over everything.
Huh.
Yeah.
Also, there's mannequins that you can control with your mind.
Hot.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a cool game. Spoilers.
They're not mannequins, they're real people.
Yes, they are real people, but they're like blob people.
Well, they've been infected by the worms, so they become
blobs.
Is
it the worms that make them blob people? I can't remember if that was spelled out clearly.
I think, if you take this game and Limbo as a continuum.
I don't remember Limbo that well.
So in Limbo, the worms are there.
Yeah.
And in Limbo, when you get infected with worms, you can no longer control yourself as much as before. You can only you just run one way or the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, narratively speaking, that if you take the two games as a whole, the worms are the issue.
I thought we weren't talking about dicks.
Ugh.
All
right, thank you. Spoilers over.
Doesn't Limbo... Okay, I was going to say Limbo spoilers. Doesn't Limbo end with you literally winding up back where you were?
I can't recall.
Another game I didn't play.
Play it on your iPad.
This has been spoilers for games Griffin didn't play.
yeah, pretty much. Tell me about how Twilight Princess ends. Just kidding. Don't care.
No, you don't want to know. It's not worth your time.
Perfect. Okay, well, thanks, Jamie, for telling us about Virginia. That does me the justice of saying or of knowing that I don't really need to play it. I'm curious to check it out, but since the deluge of end-of-year games is about to strike, I think that my time will be better suited elsewhere.
Yeah, definitely grab it if it's on Steam sale in the future for, $5 or less. 100% grab it.
Right.
Play it. But until then, if you're not a huge into walking sims, then don't bother.
Yeah.
Did they release the game-ready drivers for it yet?
Yeah, it was weird.
I really want to get SLI support going. So
I had to overclock my new i5 just to get it running, you know.
You guys should consider liquid cooling it.
I did. I literally did.
What do you
I have.
Jamie and Axel both have liquid cooling loops.
Mine is not custom.
Mine is.
Can you just connect your computer into your house's like central air unit?
So there's a literal video by Linus Tech Tips where he makes a full room liquid cooling solution.
Amazing.
So the radiators are outside.
Jesus Christ. Amazing. We just have too much money, don't we?
Yeah. And then the hardware is obsolete. Yep. Later, so you have to upgrade it all. Oh, I love it.
Run Forza 3.
How do you talk about that?
Please do. Yeah.
Talk about Forza 3, man.
So how is the cars driving?
Can I tell you... I'll tell you a little bit about that. There's really not much to tell about that. It's a very good racing game.
I'd like to say a word from our sponsors. Dicks and Balls. The end. Continue.
As I assume that you're going to insert there like an ad.
Oh, okay. He'll be inserting it, all right.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it's a very good driving game. I thought it was going to take itself too seriously because I'd never played a Forza Horizon game. I didn't know.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that they were capable of being lighthearted and goofy about it, and I'm totally glad that they are, and it's exactly what I wanted. It's just complete nonsense. There's no semblance of reality in the game.
Yeah. Are there power-ups?
There are essentially power-ups.
Yes! They're called
better cars.
Better cars. Yeah. And, it's a pretty great game. It's the first game that I ever purchased that uses the new Xbox Play Anywhere thing. So I bought it on the official Windows Store. It's the only place to buy it if you want to play it on PC. That experience was a nightmare. their downloading speeds, and I looked this up online to make sure it wasn't just me, is slower than like the PlayStation at its worst.
Oh, no.
So the PlayStation 3?
Yeah, the downloads take forever.
Ugh.
You cannot choose where to install the game.
Incredible.
It's just like, here's the game. You have no control over where it is. If you want to like it, at least in Steam, you can actually like access the files and move them around. In this, it's like you don't have permission to access the files of this game that you purchased. you literally cannot. It's as if it's on your computer in like a ghost form. It's like, where the hell is this game?
I wonder if that has something to do with the Play Anywhere functionality of it, though. Like, so you can't be juggling this stuff with friends or something, possibly?
Well, you can do that on Steam. Like, Steam will sync all your games up.
Yeah, it's not that. It's because it's Universal Windows Platform. So it's because it's this, like, weird, like, sandbox environment that Windows is trying to roll out, a la the Mac Store, or a la any apps on a phone. So it's very locked down. You, like, can't do things that you could ordinarily do in it.
All right, I tried Microsoft. I tried.
and so I downloaded it, tried to run it, doesn't work. Won't even start. Like, uninstall it, reinstall it, won't even start.
Did you put the keys in?
Put the keys in. Did all this stuff, won't even start.
Pop the clutch.
I was like, okay, I'll just return it. I don't want to deal with this. And then everywhere I go on their support thing, they're like, returns? Not cool. Not gonna happen. No way. You bought this. Fuck you. And, which is amazing, because on Steam you can very easily get returns. And so then I called them. And I spoke to so many people who were clearly not from here, and they were so nice, and they were trying to help me so hard.
They're from Italy, from Forza.
I spoke to one girl named...
Did you pop out the clutch?
It was the alternator, guys. I just needed a new alternator.
Bella!
So she's having
me... Those Italian cars are so temperamental, man.
This girl named Mads, her name is like M-A-D-S. I had her spell it for me, because I was like, what? What? Just spell it, because I don't know what you're saying. And she was so nice. She was having me run all these tests, and she was hilarious because I was running all these tests in the command prompt. And she was like, all right, I'm just going to have you run this test just to make sure there's no corrupt files or whatever. So I run the test, and she's like, this takes a long time, so I'm just going to put you on hold. Just tell me when you're done, and it'll tell me that you're saying something. I'm like, it's done. And she's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, it's done. And she's like... Impossible. I'm like, no, it's done. She's like, run it again. I'm going to time you. Literally. And I'm like, okay. So I ran it again, and she timed me, and she was like, that is the fastest that I've ever seen any of these go. And then she's like, hold on 1 second. And I hear people behind her, like, coming. And one of them is like, blah, 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 blah. And then she's like, wait, okay, run this one. And then so I run a different scan. And then it finishes really fast, and the people behind her are flipping out.
Was there a point where they're like, excuse me, are you using liquid cooling?
No, but they did ask me how much RAM I had and what processor I had and all this stuff.
This is hilarious.
How many Snapchat followers did you get after that moment?
Anyway, long story short, they couldn't help me at all.
How many subscribers to your YouTube channel?
I was going to say, is the entire call on YouTube? Yes. Yo, check out Mads. Yo, she was great, man. She was great. Yo, Mads. Much love.
Turns out that I had to uninstall my antivirus software, and now the game runs. And I definitely have the hitches that people are experiencing, even though I have a brand new processor that I overclocked myself. It still has these very minor hitches. Does not, like, really affect my enjoyment of the game, but... If you have a PC that you, like, didn't just build in the last year or isn't top of the line, I would really maybe recommend against even thinking about this game on PC. If you have an Xbox, sure, go ahead. But yeah, it's a really great driving game. It's funny. It's stupid. It's, like, there's no pretense of this is real or this is serious. There's no, like, start out with this junker car first and then you'll build up to Lamborghini. It's, like... The Lamborghini is the first car that you drive in this game.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Do I have to do 100 laps anywhere?
No.
Do you have to get your C license and then B license and then A license and then A plus license and then S license? How is the soundtrack?
Does it feature any Snoop Dogg raps?
Ooh, good question.
There's a lot of ridiculous rap that is amazing.
Okay.
Including Bust a Move. I think they played. Right. I went on one drive that was like a. So the game is so cool and so zen-like that sometimes, like, it makes it very easy for you to figure out where there are things to do on the map. It also makes it super easy if you just want to ignore all that and just drive for a while, which I find myself doing a lot. It's like, yeah, just do that. And then when you do that, like, one time I went on a 15-minute drive and it played Bust a Move twice.
So, yes. Jamie, are you worried that you're gonna get... your fill of driving before Final Fantasy 15 comes out?
Maybe.
Speaking of FF15, that did you see the track list for the car? Because there's like a lot of Final Fantasy songs, which makes me excited, even though it shouldn't.
Hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I did not.
Like 10 or more songs from almost every game. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm into that.
Plus, Exhibit.
There is an Afrojack song, which just, I can't. I can't, guys.
Alright. Well, speaking of Final Fantasy 15, I played a little phone game called Justice Monsters 5.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Awful.
What is that? Justice Monsters 5? I've
that
never
was
heard
a pinball
of
game, right?
It's not a pinball game, though. It's Monster Strike. It is Monster Strike. You're playing Monster Strike. Have you played Monster Strike?
No, I don't play those kinds of games.
Okay, well,
what
are
you
saying? I don't want to feel bad inside.
Monster Strike is a fine game. This is not. This seems to have taken...
Is Monster Strike the... Tell me about Monster Strike.
Monster Strike is a nice little phone game where you're kind of like launching pucks around a play field, like looking for ricochets and dealing with elemental types and monsters that like have
the
gachapon.
The
what?
Which one's the Arnold game?
The one where in the commercial he goes, "Do get to the chopper."
Yes.
Oh.
That one.
And then did you see the most recent commercial? It's so good.
What does he do?
He's in a chopper and he shoots a bunch of missiles at one of his opponents, and then he literally says, and this it zooms in on his face, and he goes, "Call the doctor. You have a case of missile poisoning."
What? That's not real.
It's totally real.
Oh. There's one where he just goes like, "Hasta la vista again."
Oh.
It's like the laziest cash-in.
He's like, "It is a tuba."
I think Gronk did commercials for that one too.
What's a Gronk? Oh, yeah, I gotcha. Football man. Wow. Anyway, Justice Monsters 5, it's the thing that is tied into the Final Fantasy 15 universe. It's a phone game. It's Monster Strike. It's stupid. The only delightful thing about it is when you do the gachapon part and you put your coins in or whatever, your fake currency, and you get the monsters delivered to you, there is a fabulous cutscene that happens with a space trucking demon with like a freight line... what do you call that? Like tractor trailer, carrying a bunch of what are those things called? Like containers, and then they all just crash through asteroids and rocks and planets, and eventually are just delivered to you. It's that is worth the price of free to just see, but then it's pretty much it. Like a game
so it's
sucks.
Literally just like press a button and you might get some cool stuff.
No, it's there. I mean, there's some like quote unquote skill to the gameplay, but it's all meters, energy based. Like you can only play so many times a day. Jesus like, Christ. Take one currency, turn it to another. Take one monster, melt it down to another. It's
oh god.
It's bad. It's bad. It's just plain bad.
God damn it. Well, yeah, people apparently like their previews of Final Fantasy 15, so maybe the game itself will be good.
Yeah, I hope
Yay.
So.
Yeah.
Fingers
crossed. I see another weird game on your list, Griffin, and I want to ask you why in the world you played it.
So, I think I know what you're talking about, and I'm not ready to talk about Deus Ex. No. I started playing Adventure Capitalist because people were speaking so highly of it, and I was like, it's a clicker. I'm not really certain how those games work. So, I started playing it, and it's a way better game in quotes, than Justice Monsters 5, or Just Mon 5. It's just bars filling. You check in on it. Like, initially, there's a little bit more interactivity, and then it's like, you let it go for a day, check in.
Yep.
Let it go for another day, check in.
Guess what I've had running for, I'm going to say, months at this point.
Adventure Capitalist?
Cookie Clicker.
Ah, classic.
No.
So many non-aliens of cookies, guys.
Nice.
So many non-aliens.
Yeah.
I may have a decillion at this point. numbers.
This just sounds stressful to me, these types
it's
of
not.
Games.
Adventure
it's
Capitalist
not.
It's the opposite of stress. Like, it's... just it's like checking your stocks.
Yeah, pretty much. Like I just leave it running for days and then I come back. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, I have enough to get the next thing now.
Yeah.
It's literally that.
Yep.
But do you, I turned my computer off. Like, do you guys not turn your computers off?
Nah, how do you get bitcoins if you turn your computers off?
I love how getting bitcoins is literally a math problem. Like, it is literally, am I expending more energy in mining for bitcoins like in terms of the value of energy, then, and the value of hardware as it deteriorates over time, than I am making in bitcoins. I just love that.
When do we find out that folding at home was actually just an elaborate Bitcoin mining scheme?
I didn't know that bitcoins were still a thing.
I mean, I think have they all been mined already? Is that a thing? Isn't there a limit?
I don't know.
A bound on the currency? I don't know. I think it's hard to mine them economically at this point.
Hmm.
I think that limits the utility of the currency. But I think it took a huge hit after the Mt. Gox thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which is amazing, because Mt. Gox was a Magic the Gathering-related thing, and then it became a Bitcoin bank.
Huh.
Did you guys know that?
No, I did not. But I do know that everything bad about the world comes out of Magic the Gathering. So it doesn't make
Jessica
that
would
much.
Agree.
Yeah.
So Adventure Capital. So you like it, Griff?
Yeah, it's fine. I've said enough about it. It's fine.
You should try one, Jamie. They have a strange allure to them. I don't know why they're as fun as they are.
Yeah.
I can't offer an explanation.
It's like binge watching a show, the game. It just has that kind of like you know, grilled cheese and tomato soup kind of like niceness about it.
So I have that experience already, but it's better than any clicker, and it's called Pocket Card Jockey, which I still occasionally play.
You're still playing that, Jamie?
Yeah, man.
Are you serious?
You never stop. Once you make the decision to start, that's a lifestyle.
That's the red pill?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I had no idea that it was still in your rotation. That's cool, though.
Huh.
It's more like I don't expect to play it. Like, I open my DS, I'm like, maybe I'll play a little SteamWorld Heist because I downloaded that DLC I told you guys about. Or maybe I'll check out the 3DS store.
Sure.
And then I see it there, and I'm like, oh, how are you doing? And then jump in a little bit. And then 3 hours are gone, and I'm like, what? How did that happen?
That sounds like me and Isaac back in the day. Isaac was just like my comfort food. I would just throw that thing on and just play 3 or 4 runs, and then just several hours would have gone by.
Yep.
I was like, oh, what have I done? Speaking of 3DS, though, I've actually been checking out a couple 3DS games, which I could talk about.
Lay it out.
Yeah!
All right. First off, I've been playing Ace Attorney 6, Spirit of Justice, which is a Phoenix Wright game. I think that I guess I'm surprised that the cases are still good.
Mm.
But they are. The first case, so the way that Phoenix Wright always works, it's very, it's always, the first case is always like your warm-up case, and I played the first case and I was like, oh, this is kind of boring, like, it's not very interesting, not that many twists and turns, and I got really annoyed at the name of the villain, because the villain's name was, what was it? It was like Peace, Love, and Understanding.
Oh no!
Like it was like really like they really have punny names, but this was like pushing it way too hard.
Did they play the Elvis Costello song in the background constantly?
No, they did not. But he played his guitar all the goddamn time, and it was really annoying.
No.
But the second case was like really good. I was like, they still do a really good job of not telegraphing like exactly what happened and keeping you on your toes. And the cool thing about Phoenix Wright that relative to some other games is like, you can be going through the case and thinking you have an understanding, but, like, the twist at the end of the case will still rail you. Like, you'll still be like, whoa. So it manages to, like, make you feel good and make you feel detective-y, but at the same time, like, keep you on your toes and keep you guessing.
Do I remember some people saying that this game really rewards you for playing all the other Phoenix Wright games, and if you haven't necessarily played the other ones, that you shouldn't start with this one?
So the first one I played was 5, which I thought was a great introductory point. This one has a few throwbacks, to some older characters. After playing 5, I played the trilogy for 3DS, and this reintroduces some old characters from the trilogy. So I would definitely recommend starting with 5, but 6 is definitely still really solid. And I guess I don't have a ton to say about it, but it seems pretty cool, and I like what's going on with the overarching plotline. It involves like a deeply religious nation where they're like the concept of trials like doesn't really exist because there's people who can see the last moments before someone's death.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it actually is very cool. And the first case uses a mechanic around that where you can like study the last moments before someone's death and figure out what's like what's inconsistent, what's wrong. The second case was set back in the original like setting of the game, so it didn't have that, but all the remaining cases, as I understand, will heavily use those visions.
Mm.
Which is cool because it's like it's I think it's like supernatural in a cool way, but not in a way that like contradicts kind of the core of the series, because it's like it's just another piece of evidence that looks damning but isn't, and it works in a cool plot way, because I guess there's been talk of like rebels who don't like the like religious state that's going on, and they're doing stuff, and there's some cool stuff going on, and like after the first case, I met like a guy who was like, you got lucky this time, but like, you know, get your nose out of our business or else you might be punished. So there's a lot of cool stuff going on. I'm excited about it. Yeah, yeah. It seems... I'm surprised that for a series that doesn't have its original creator making the games anymore, even though he still is like a supervisor, and has gone on for this long, it still seems to be pretty solid. So awesome. That's what I would say about that. The other game I'm checking out is Dragon Quest VII, which I've been really excited about, really hyped for, and just ready to play like an old-school RPG. I am like getting through it without too much trouble, but it's feels super dated despite being, I know it was not surprising for a Dragon Quest game, but even though it came out after Dragon Quest, or rather even though Dragon Quest VII came out before Dragon Quest IX, this remake came out afterwards, but it feels like a step back in so many ways. Like it's in terms of just like basic UI stuff, like equipping your characters, you can't. How do I describe this? Like, when you press equip on a character, you have to go through each screen individually, like the weapon equip screen, and then the headgear equip screen, and then, like, armor equip screen individually, rather than just having a menu to put shit on your character with. And there's all these weird things that are just, like, super dated and, like, clunky, and I don't know why. It just seems like such a missed opportunity. Yeah, go ahead, Jamie.
I was just going to say, I was really looking forward to it, and all these reviews were like, this game is 200 hours long and feels like it was made 15 years ago.
Yeah, and I don't understand it. Like, it was updated to be, you know, 3D and nice, but it still feels old. And I think that if you were wanting to play a Dragon Quest game, I would wait for 8 for sure. I think that the remake of 8 for 3DS is going to be where it's at.
When is that coming out?
Probably sometime early next year, I think, which is unfortunate, but... But yeah, no, this game just feels very clunky. I'm excited to get to classes, but even classes, like, I guess you don't get those until, like, 20 hours into the game. Like, you're supposed to, the whole premise of the game is that you're going around restoring, the game starts, you're on, like, an island in the middle of the ocean, you're the only landmass in the world, but throughout the game you restore more and more landmasses through some convoluted mechanic involving collecting pieces. And I guess you have to have restored, like, 8 of them before you can get classes, and I've done, I think, 2 at this point. So it seems like it's just going to be a massive game. Yeah. And I'm just like, I don't know, like, it feels really clunky and dated. I don't see the charm of this one. Because I love Dragon Quest IX. I had such a blast with that game, but this is not really grabbing me in the same way, so.
It's too bad.
Yeah, it is a bummer. But I don't have too much else. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go on. Oh, I was just going to say, I feel like Japanese people have no idea how to solve... we talked a little bit about this. Solve the problem of having these games be so long and so arduous and so repetitive. And I feel like their solutions that they've put forward, like having an auto battle mode in Final Fantasy XV, are not actual solutions. And it seems like it's just ingrained in their design philosophy that the game has to be super long and there has to be...
Yeah.
A battle every 15 seconds in the... I don't know.
I mean, they're moving forward. I mean, you know, this game has visible encounters instead of random encounters, but there's some... Like, the dungeons sometimes are so narrow that you can't avoid the encounters anyway. I don't really have a problem necessarily with a game requiring a grind. I think that's a design decision, and some people get some enjoyment out of that, even though it's weird and it's tedious. I don't even have a problem with, like, Phil Kohler wrote a piece about how you have to, like, press 8 buttons in order to save. Like, you have to go through 8 prompts in order to save in Dragon Quest VII. Which I'm okay with, because I think that's a deliberate choice. Like, you have to go to church, you have to talk to someone, and they say all these different things. What I'm not okay with is, like, a weapon equip screen, like I said, that requires you to thumb through multiple menus just to change your armor. Like, just give me a list. This has been a thing since, like, the days of, you know, Super Nintendo. Like, you can do better than this. Yeah. So I think it's a mixture of deliberate, because I think it is designed to evoke certain feelings, and just sloppiness or just not knowing better.
You said sloppiness really good. Can you say that again?
Sloppiness.
Can you say it a little slower?
Say the S quieter.
Sloppy.
No,
sloppy,
less S. Less S.
Sloppy.
Nope, less S.
Sloppy, sloppy, sloppy. But yeah, I'm gonna stick with it. I really want to get to classes because I think classes in my RPGs are always fun. But God, it is taking a while.
It's too bad.
So that's yeah. I mean, it still has a charm about it in some way. But I'm just irritated by some of the more dated design decisions. And I think Dragon Quest VIII was a turning point for that series, where they started to embrace some more modern conventions. So I think that'll be the one to watch.
Cool.
Hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Speaking of poor design decisions, I have No Man's Sky on my list, and I don't remember how much about we talked last time.
A little bit.
I think we both had played it, right?
But we both had played like it. I played just a couple hours.
Yeah.
I have never played. I didn't buy that game. I haven't touched it.
I kind of fell down the rabbit hole for a while. Like it was the put on a podcast and kind of just drive. Kind of like Jamie was saying with Forza, No Man's Sky got to a point where it was kind of unlocking some cool things. Like I did have some cool moments, but then I felt like I just saw the loop. Like the loop exposed itself, and it was you can just keep doing this over and over and over again. And
I agree, Griff. I played it probably for, I'm going to say, like 10 hours, and that was more than enough.
Yeah. I may have put in maybe 20, and I'm in the same boat. Just, that's it.
Yeah, and it's such a shame. I mean, it's people are really pissed about it, and for once I'm like, maybe they're right to be angry?
Nope.
Because, what?
No.
No, they're not right to be angry?
No.
I mean, you know, they were told something about a product that wasn't true. I mean, you know, you could say that was their own, it's their own fault for falling for the hype, but I don't think, like, they should be sending death threats, but, you know.
Sure, I mean, yeah.
Sean Murray should, like, explain himself, or
I don't think he has any, I don't think he has any, there's no need for him to do that. The onus for him to come up and, like, fall on his sword is, Shuhei Yoshida threw him under the bus, and now we have this Jeff Keighley mob, lynch mob that's happening. I think this is all unfair to poor Sean Murray.
I agree that I think that everyone is overreacting, and I think really despicable of what Sony said about the situation.
What did they say?
They essentially said, like, well, at the end of the day, they're just a freaking indie developer, so what do you expect? And it's like, can't say that.
Shuhei Yoshida in an interview said, like, you know, yeah, it's a small team, and they would have benefited from a PR person. They didn't use a PR person. That would have been helpful for them.
And it's like, well, then give them a PR person. You like, essentially used these guys, you know?
I mean, they may have handed them bags of money, so it's, you know... Yes, they did use them, but by the same token.
I mean, we don't know what's happening behind the closed door. We don't know if Sony was like, hey, would you like this PR person to help you with this message? And they're like, no, I think the bashful thing's working for me. Or, you know, if Sony was just like, yeah, if you want this PR person, you're going to have to take less money. And they're like, well, we can probably figure it out on our own. Either way, I don't think it matters. It's a product that if you believed what it was promising when it began with, you're a fool.
I don't know. Like, he spoke pretty, you know, there were some pretty direct contradictions. I mean, it was like, you will be able to do this, and then you just aren't. You're not.
Like, I mean, what? What was one of those things?
He doesn't, nothing is owed to anyone except that, like, people saying that they're frustrated or that this guy came off as a fraud. I think those people are correct. Like, he does come off as a fraud when he delivers a product that doesn't resemble what he described.
I think the only fraudulent thing was that initial video that was shown in the Game Awards or whatever. And they're like, this is live footage. And you're like, okay, so nothing actually ever looks like this ever.
there's interviews where they're like, is there multiplayer in the game? Like a month before it comes out. And he just goes, yes.
Well, I mean, he's not wrong, though. I mean, it's like, there is multiplayer. You're playing with a multitude of people.
I mean, I guess.
Are you? I don't know anything about the game. I haven't played it, but...
Like, there is planet naming that has some degree of permanence, but it's actually overwritten after a certain number of things.
Yep.
There's, like, there are features that persist across world. Very limited features. Mostly just some basic cataloging features that are eventually overwritten.
Right. And you know what? In his eyes, maybe that was multiplayer. Or maybe there's something behind the scenes that's happening that is more multiplayer influenced that we don't see. I just think that, you know, this dude, I don't think he's really at fault for saying the things he said. Like, Peter Molyneux is what he's being compared to right now, and it's like, that dude is just a straight-up, like, liar. Like... it's just like a small team that got in over their head, and if
it is, I think at your most charitable, you could say that they overpromised in a huge way, in an unbelievable way.
I think that they pitched an idea, and the promise or the people wished it into something that it never was capable of being. And that was
the wishes were based off the actual statements of the developer, though.
Well, I mean,
like you know, rarer minerals will be closer to the center of systems, or like you know, you'll find certain minerals in certain places when that wasn't borne out at all through like data analysis of the game, or like you'll find certain events on certain planets that like you can't. I showed you that Reddit thread where people like literally broke shit down based on actual statements of the developer.
Right. I mean, you're right. Like, there are things that they said, like, oh, this is how this should work technically, but then, you know, it didn't. Like, you can find gold in other places or something like that.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yes.
I mean, you know, taken individually, they all are relatively minor, and if a few things didn't turn out the way they seemed, then it'd be like, okay, whatever. But the actual product was hugely stripped back from what was discussed, not only initially, but throughout the development. I mean... Talking about, you know, complex faction alliances which don't exist. All kinds of shit that just isn't in the game.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
And then the radio silence afterwards. So he doesn't owe anyone anything, but it's a bad look.
It is. It's a bad look.
There's no mea culpa, like, I fucked up. Like, you know, yeah, like, we really wanted it to be more, but this is what we could give. We're proud of the product we made. But, you know, it's not the initial vision. It's something different now. There's none of that.
No, you're right. That's weird. And I think the most important thing to take away from this is not to, you know, try and crucify Sean Murray. It's to shine a lens on your own, you know, buying habits and your own, you know, perspective on the product that's being pitched to you. You know, if you're going to just swallow the pill when you're given this video and then for 2 years the questions are like, but what's the actual game? And you never get an answer and you're like, it's going to be great. You know, that's just stupidity.
I mean, you're right, it is, but by the same token, I mean, is it all about people being stupid, or if somebody outright lies to you and we don't live in an industry, or we don't exist in an industry, or the video game industry doesn't have the level of transparency that something else might have, I mean, I guess, you know, if people had waited, they would know. but it's gross. It doesn't come off great.
Right. I agree.
I think there's a difference between...
I'm just saying,
like,
buyer beware. You know, it's nobody's
It's no Volkswagen
fault.
diesel emissions fixing scheme, but right. It's not great.
But in the end, if somebody's promising you, like, the greatest game ever created, it does everything forever and always, amen, like, maybe, you know, tilt your head at it instead of eat it all up.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think there's a big difference between... but there's a difference between, like, for example, with me being stupid enough to read the reviews of Forza 3 Horizon and hear that that on even the best CPUs it chugs, and then buy the game.
What about water-cooled CPUs? Yeah.
And then still buy the game, and then when it chugs, be a little disappointed with it. There's a difference between that and like being told that in Forza Horizon there may be a mode where you get out of your car and have sex with a cactus. And then I'm like, I'm gonna buy this game because I want to have sex with a cactus. And then you can't have sex with a cactus in the game.
You can't have sex with a cactus?
You know, I just had a good an interesting idea, Jimmy. What if you were conned? Like, what if you were just played like a fiddle through that phone call with that person? who's like, wow, your PC is the greatest PC. Please don't return this. Oh my God, your PC is like amazing. Please don't return this. Your PC is
Yeah, the moment Matt's hung up, she's like, we got another retention guy.
They bring the bell. They're like,
probably.
Fell for the old CPU 35X4 test again.
classic Mads.
High fives all around.
I wouldn't put it past them.
Oh, Mads. Can we get Mads on the show, guys?
We can get Mads.
Her right. English is so broken.
Well, anyway. So No Man's Sky, it definitely revealed itself to be pretty hollow pretty quick.
Yeah. Like a fracked planet. It's a No Man's
Sky. Yeah, their algorithms were so boring. Like, the planets were not dense at all. They were just lame.
I had some cool moments with the game. There were some definitely, like, interesting things. Like, I found a completely barren, weird planet that just had, like, pylons and weird crap on it. So I was like, ooh, this is actually unique and interesting. And then that's when I kind of saw the curvature, where I was like, oh, I'll just stay here forever, won't I? Just make enough money to just do this and then reach the end of the game.
Well, given that you know what waits you at the center of the universe, I mean, I would just stay there forever.
Whoa. Is the center of the universe?
Everything all right down there, Jessica?
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody's dead.
Hooray!
Or if they are, it's nobody we care about.
Yeah. That's enough talk about No Man's Sky, I think, unless you have any final words. You want to stick another knife in the Marinator?
Buy it, rent it, or skip it?
Ooh, good call. I mean, I rented it, technically. So I
through a service which shall not be named.
Yes, through the unnamed service.
Boxed copy. Fuck off, Keeley. Boxed copies are good for something.
I would say it is not worth your time, so skip it.
Yeah, I agree. Skip it.
I will.
All right.
But hey, on the subject of a game that maybe you shouldn't skip, Griffin, I think you've played the most of it. You want to talk about Deus Ex?
I would love to. Man, right. Deus Ex, Mankind Divided. I finished it. I had a great time with it. I put in, I don't know, I thought there was a time, a clock, and I was like, oh, you know, 10 hours, that seems kind of low, and then it's just like the time of day. So I'm like, oh, great, perfect. So I have no clue how much time I put in this. So Deus Ex sequel to the Deus Ex Human Revolution game that came out, whatever, 2-3 years ago. This game pretty much is just more of that. It's
yep.
It's cyberpunk spy espionage RPG with some light, you know, shooting mechanics in a pseudo open world. And all of those things together couldn't be more perfect for me.
Yes. I agree. I love the town. It's a great town.
Yep.
Lots of fun stuff to do in there. Yep. I feel like that's one of my favorite things about the Deus Ex reboot, I guess you want to call it, or pre-boot. They do a really good job with their exploration design. I think that it's always a fun, dense world to play around in, and this delivers on that front for sure.
It is, and it's not too overwhelming. Like, the reason why I could finish this game is because it wasn't a true open world. Like, I didn't have countless side quests to go derail me. Like, I felt like I had a reasonable amount of activities that I could do, and I could pursue them and clean them up and then move on to the next, like, main story beat. You know,
I agree.
There was no, what do they call that, emergent game design that was happening where somebody runs up and gives me a quest that then I'm like, oh, I guess I'll be here longer.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great balance of sort of enough things to kind of pique your interest, but not enough things that you're just like, oh, God, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. There's so many buildings I have to go inside and check for documents. I just can't do it. It's like there's a concrete number of buildings that you can go inside and check for documents in any given moment.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How did you feel the story played out? Because I am not very far along with that. It seemed pretty Deus Ex-y. I hated the intro mission, but that was mercifully over pretty quick.
Yeah, the intro mission was definitely weak.
I also hated the guy who was like, you got some fucking crazy augments in there, man.
Yeah.
They're on overdrive.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you guys know how I feel about Europeans, but that definitely seemed like that was coming through with that dude there. Story-wise, I mean, honestly, mostly forgettable. The moment-to-moment, like, action, and not, like, explosions and big shootouts, like, that's not the action I'm talking about. Just, like, playing the game, like, just infiltrating a room and failing and then redoing it. Like, I never felt frustrated because I had to do... Well, I was probably frustrated a couple times, but I never felt like I was put off from playing the game because I would mess up some sequence or something like that. I'd want to go back and try it again and do it perfectly and reload my save. And I had no interest in playing, like, in a way that I'd just be, like, killing willy-nilly. Like, that just was an uninteresting way to tackle that game. So yeah. The espionage was really fun, and the story definitely fell to the wayside to, you know, just playing.
It seemed like the city had a lot of, or has a lot of character, though. Like, I think that there's a lot of, like, texture to that. It looks from the looks of things. Like, the one side quest I did seemed pretty cool.
Right. And
I
think that the problem is, you know, you've got Human Revolution, the precursor, which had a very obvious motivation, like, arc that was happening. Like, oh, you were almost killed, and now here's the revenge and rescue story. This, you're like, yeah, you're kind of like, you've woke up out of a coma again, and somebody monkeyed inside your Metal Man body, and
again,
and then you found nothing out.
Stay tuned for the third game.
Yeah, which, you know, hey, it was so much fun to play. I'm ready for a third game already.
Did they replace David Seraph with the new voice actor?
I can't tell.
Okay, because I just remember him going, Adam.
Adam, what's up, my brother?
Adam, love that guy.
Did you guys notice how the psychiatrist makes weird faces?
Nope.
No?
Should we have?
I don't know. I'm not very far in the game. I just met the psychiatrist. Uh-huh. And, like, I turned away from her and I looked back at her and she was making this face like... And I was like, whoa!
Do you get to press a choice button in the end of this game or no?
No, I don't think there's a choice button. There was definitely an arcing. There's an arcing path that kind of brought you along to the one kind of end, or not one end thing, but, like, you know, your typical RPG where it's like, did you choose the good option enough times to get, you know, the good ending? But there wasn't really one good ending. It was just like, if you did certain things in certain ways, all the pieces would fall into this order versus this order.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. I'm excited to dig deeper. I just haven't had a lot of time for sitting down in front of a TV recently. But what I've played of it has been really great. So I'm glad to hear that it was, on the whole, positive for you, Griff. I'm a little bummed that the story was a little forgettable. But just mucking around in, like, the world of Deus Ex is so much fun that I don't really care.
Yeah, so. And... like, I should kind of cover my tracks there and say it's not the story is bad, it's or forgettable. It's honestly, like, the beat-by-beat stories are so much more interesting and fun to just be engaging in, like, the mission that you're currently at. The overall, you know, arc of Adam Jensen Part 2 is completely forgettable because all the little moments are so much more fun.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay. That's not a bad thing. I mean, if something is so fun that it renders other parts of the game not as good, then I'm cool with that.
Yeah. And I also don't hate the dude. Like, I think, you know, take my direction as you will, but I like Jensen as a quote-unquote character. I think that there is some moments in which humor seeps through that, like, robotic veneer. And I think that, you know, he is unduly criticized in the voice actor for giving a really flat delivery.
No, I don't mind that. Again, the only time I didn't like him was in the intro mission when he put out his little knife and he was like, I'm going to stab you, human robot hater. But otherwise...
Oh, sure. Yeah.
He's good for role-playing because he's gruff, but he could be, like, lovably gruff or meanly gruff.
Yeah. There was also one really, like, good scene right at the beginning of the game, too, when you're in your apartment and you're kind of, like, exploring the room in, you know, a way that... like a PC game would have you explore a room, and you go to the shower and you can, like, take a shower, and it's just like naked Adam Jensen taking a shower, which
I mean, they have a bit of a fetish for naked Adam Jensen, though.
Yeah.
Which I'm good with.
We all do. But it kind of, like, struck an interesting chord where it's like, oh, man, like, they just, like, chopped him all to bits, didn't they? Like, he's not really, he's, like, all robot at this point. There's just some skin on his face.
He's more machine now than man.
Yeah.
I was going to say, there's some parts of them that are still not robot.
Well, that's kind of the part that I'm getting at is, like, I think that he doesn't have a dick anymore.
It really should be a central plot point, whether or not he has a dick.
I think so.
It should keep you guessing. Reveal it in game 3.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a good, like, the opposite of humanizing for him, where you're like, oh, this guy just is, like, not a man anymore.
Yeah, I feel like, I hope they do that a lot in this game as I go play through, because they did that pretty well in the first game, I felt. Mm-mm. Just sort of giving...
Prepare to be disappointed.
His existence in the first game felt, like, depressing. Like,
yes.
There was a certain degree of just, like, heaviness hanging over it, even though they didn't lay into it too hard, which is kind of a bummer. I think if they were better storytellers, maybe they could, but I think there were moments in the first game which were clearly designed to sort of evoke that, like, this sort of, like, sadness of his existence.
Yeah. That does not happen here. Sorry.
Bummer.
Yeah.
It is a sequel, so I guess, you know.
Right.
You can only hope for so much.
Yep. But yeah, I hope you guys continue playing it, because it's a real good game. And
yeah,
I
definitely intend to.
Buy it.
Yeah, me too.
Buy it!
Buy it! Awesome. I don't have anything else that I was playing. Jamie, were you playing anything else recently?
Just real quick, I was playing they patched Hyper Light Drifter to be 60 frames per second, which it should have been from the beginning. And I have been replaying it, and I'm really loving that game. I don't know if it's because I put it on the easy mode that they patched in also. But I'm playing it on the 60 FPS easy mode. And now it feels like almost like a Fez-esque version of that game. And whoa. And I really like it a lot. You guys should check it out.
Your cats hate your stuff.
They're knocking over my Club Nintendo calendar.
Ugh.
October's so cute, guys.
I'll play it. It's just, you know, I'm doing kind of the asshole thing of waiting to see when it pops into PlayStation Plus, which at this point
Are you waiting for the Vita port, Griffin?
I should just... I should just stop waiting for PlayStation Plus things to come out, because it has just been a year full of BS.
I wouldn't say that. I think that it was always going to be this way.
I want to rock right now.
No, I think it was always going to be this way. I don't think that they could continue to deliver AAA titles in that way.
No,
I think
you're right.
It was always going to move more towards indie. I think that they're going to start with a bang. I am not mad at Sony for giving decent, like 4 to 6 decent free games a month.
Sure, sure. I understand
of which
that I've been
maybe
spoiled.
Maybe 2 of them are good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. I get it. But it's. I think that they're somewhat unfairly maligned for that.
Right. Right, I'm just saying, you know, I've been unrealistic. The realization that I can't wait for these good indie games to come to PlayStation Plus is kind of dawned on me. I just need to pull the trigger and start playing them on PC.
Yeah, you should. I mean, you know, it's they're going to come the month after you buy them.
You know what I'll probably wait for, though, is that... PlayStation 4 dongle that I can plug into my PC so I can use my PlayStation controller, which came out of some weird leak, and then the PlayStation event.
Oh yeah, when is that again?
Hell if I know.
Well, I'm excited for that. Not at all, actually.
That's probably the one thing that I'll be taking away from that whole experience that they unveiled. Screw you, VR. Screw you, PlayStation Pro. screw you, PlayStation Slim. I'm going to even go that far. Actually, right, no. Yeah, you know what? Fuck that Slim.
Fuck that Slim.
And its button. Having a button.
Fuck it right in the button.
Stupid button.
I like the Slim. I'm down for Slims. I love when Sony redesigns their consoles. They just get way smaller.
I don't like that design at all.
I don't like it either.
I think it's fine. It's yucky. Love ugly. I love ugly. Guys, I love the PS3 with the stupid slidey door.
I mean, I love that, too. This isn't ugly. This isn't even there yet. We're halfway for the next one.
That's true.
This is, I don't know, it's not nice. Like, there's just something aesthetically unappealing about what they did with that thing.
I guess. I mean, you know, is it going to be 300? Is that the introductory price for a terabyte?
I don't have any details on this. I actually honestly forgot it even happened until you were talking about playing games on the PC.
Well, I'm excited about it. So there. I'm not going to buy it. That's for sure.
And I'm not
going to buy a PS4 Pro either, because that's not targeted at me.
Nope. Who is it targeted at? We don't know.
Nope. I guess I'm going to say writers for video game publications.
I'm going to say writers for tech publications.
Yes, I agree. Not like it's more your Engadgets and your Verges than like your Polygons and your
Wall Street Journal.
Yes. Recode.
Right.
I think that's owned by Vox now, actually.
Right.
That used to be Wall Street Journal.
It's for the same demographic that's you know, getting multiple lighthouses for their VR setup.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, I'm sure it'll be useful, you know, to have that in their lineup in, I don't know, how many years?
The messaging just the worst. It's the worst messaging you could ever give for a product, where you're like, well, technically it's not going to do anything different, but it's fancier.
Jamie, so I feel like you might have a reason for this being good.
What, the Pro?
Yeah.
I don't.
Fuck, it's a failure then.
I really don't.
Arrogant Sony's
understand.
Back, guys.
And, well, I mean, and the funny thing is that I was internally making fun of Microsoft's new push to open up their ecosystem to the computer, and I was like, this is ridiculous. No one's going to buy an Xbox anymore. This is so stupid. Why would they do this? And I realized the second that I bought Forza 3, I was like, oh shit, I'm in their ecosystem again.
Mm-hmm.
And if I ever end up having a 4K TV with HDR, and I think to myself, wow, wouldn't it be nice to like pick up my Forza game and on my 4K TV and in HDR? I'm going to get
a Scorpio?
I'm going to get a Scorpio for that. Like, so it's actually pretty smart of them.
Interesting. That's an interesting angle, Jamie. I didn't think of it that way, sort of going from the PC back to Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because everyone who owns a really nice PC also has a giant TV with some consoles hooked up to it sometimes. Like, literally. That applies to all of us.
I don't feel like the timing is right to get into 4K right now. Because, I mean, I guess TVs are getting cheaper, but what is the adoption rate? I mean, what is the content even there yet?
No, but I think that they're selling. And I think that, like, I mean, Netflix has 4K stuff, you know.
I guess so.
Though it's not, I can tell you this, man. Like from hanging out with teens, they don't give a shit about that. Like they really need to push harder into the older folks, like you know us, and in you know late 20s, 30s, 40s, even, like to make this product make sense. Because you know having that crisper image, it doesn't really matter like it used to.
I mean, to some people it still matters, but the problem is you don't get the crisper image from just buying the console.
But, I mean, I'm saying like 4K TV, it's not the leap from like CRT to what like our generation experienced. Like kids aren't saying like, yes, mom, dad, we need to get a 4K TV because my games look better. No, they don't give a crap.
Yeah, sorry, I thought you were talking about the console itself. No, I agree. I mean, it's not clear to me what... 4K is important on phones, but it doesn't seem to be important on televisions.
Yeah.
Or at least there hasn't been a reason articulated as to why it's important on televisions. Mm-hmm.
So there are some people who, like Jeff Cannata, keep saying that he really enjoys his 4K TV, and in certain situations you can tell a difference, and I think that HDR is even a bigger deal than 4K.
Does he give the transparency warning, his 4K TV provided by Samsung?
I think that UHD is going to be a bigger apparent difference. Because if you look at... So, from what I understand, I've read a couple things trying to figure out what the hell that is.
Isn't UHD just 4K?
I mean, yeah, my bad. HDR.
HDR, yeah.
Trying to understand HDR is... So, it's like going from... Remember those old TFT monitors? Like, imagine a MacBook from the 90s. Imagine the color gamut on that. that's a 6-bit color gamut. And then look at like a modern monitor or a modern TV, that's an 8-bit color gamut. That's a huge difference. Mm-hmm. So HDR is going from 8 to 10. So I haven't seen an HDR TV in real life. I would assume that would be a substantial difference. That would be very apparent. So I don't know. Maybe that's even more important than 4K. We'll see.
Maybe. I just think it's very difficult to sell hardware that requires you to purchase a lot of additional hardware to truly enjoy.
Like VR.
Yeah.
Like VR. Or like a console that requires you to upgrade your television. I mean, it's just, that is a tough sell.
I mean, I am ready, and I am emotionally labile enough to buy one of these things, and I still haven't. And I don't know what that...
A VR device, you mean?
Yeah, a VR device.
Well, you have a Gear VR, but, I mean, that's just, you know...
Which is awesome. $50
for that, right?
I should have talked about I'm playing the game by the Monument Valley guys in that, and that is awesome. I mean, that's all the VR I need. It's so good.
Google Cardboard.
I think I think this all just... What a lot of this does for me is actually give me a lot of hope and excitement to see what the NX is going to be, because from all accounts, it's like, hey... It sounds like it's going to be what Nintendo does best, where it's like, screw the current trends, we're going to use what makes sense and have an interesting like angle on current technology. We're not going to shoot for the moon, we're just going to do something cool and fun. And I think that's what I really need in a console experience right now, not, you know, this bigger, better, beefier, water-cooled nonsense. Like, I just want something that plays games that's delightful.
You don't want water cooling?
No. What's I actually don't want any. I turned all the water off in my house.
The problem is I'm not sure that what you want, Griffin, and what I also want is going to be what consumers have an appetite for. I'm very interested in
X. Yeah, I agree.
Like, I love the concept. Everything I've heard online, I mean, assuming it's true, and there seems to be a lot of smoke there, for at least some of the major rumors, namely the hybrid rumor, I think is fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. I love it, but I don't see consumers loving it. Speaking of crazy rumors, did you see the piece about how there is possibly some third element in addition to the dock and the console itself?
Mm-mm. No, but that's great. I'm excited.
Anyway, I won't get into it because I know you hate rumors. But I just worry about that exciting people. I also worry about it being October and just not a word.
That is terrifying as well. But also,
what
you
the
know,
fuck?
Like. They're going to do their thing on their timetable, like to try and expect them to meet that quote of like it'll be out in March next year. Like, yeah, somebody said that somewhere. I know you put a lot of stock in investors meetings and PowerPoints that they give out, but things could change. You know,
let me just tell you this: Nintendo Land 2 doesn't make itself.
I understand, like, it's weird, but also I don't care. I'll accept it when it's ready.
Yeah, no, me too, of course. I really would like it to come. I'm very excited about
it.
And I hope that when it does come, that signals a huge push for Nintendo. I think that they've been so quiet and so sedate recently. Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, Zelda was a huge deal, but that's really it. And
well,
you know.
I mean, they actually did some really weird shit with announcing Super Mario Run for the iOS.
Yes, that's another big thing that happened. I mean, there was a day of conversation about it, but yes, it was a big thing.
I think it demarks just Nintendo's willingness to spread itself out into the world now and not kind of avoid the blue ocean.
Do you think that's launching on NX as well?
That's a great question. Yes.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, for people who don't know, it's an auto runner. It sounds a lot like Rayman Jungle Run.
Starring 24 or 25-year-old Mario.
Yes. Oh, God. Oh, God.
I hate that. I hate that.
Oh, why
Mario
did you do
is
this?
42 years old.
So much genital.
You
cheese.
Mean 42 years young.
Mario is ageless. Like, the moment you put a number on Mario, man, it's just, you don't do that.
I mean, how old is Kirby? Do we really want to know that?
He's 14 years old.
Perfect. Legal age of consent in Japan.
So Super Mario Run, auto runner, one button, you know, very very much in line with what you'd expect from a from a typical mobile game. However, I appreciate that there are discrete stages. It doesn't sound like it's an endless runner. And it is a pay once, which is always nice.
Right.
I don't see this revitalizing Nintendo in any major way.
No. No. But I think it shows Nintendo's willingness to start to interact with other parties that isn't just, you know, Ubisoft.
It's more a symbol than anything that investors should get excited about and rush to Nintendo after it's announced like they did. So, yeah, it is a thing. Otherwise, I mean, there was that Direct. Is there anything worth discussing that Direct?
I mean, Mario Maker World for the 3DS I put on that list, I think, is probably the biggest announcement from it.
Yeah. I'm surprised that they expended the resources to downport that to 3DS, given that they're on the eve of a new console.
Yeah, the only you would imagine then at that point they did it for some reason in order to be able to port it to that.
To NX.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, perhaps so, yeah. Certainly it's indicative of what is probably going to be their strategy going forward. Mm-hmm. They also had Yoshi's Woolly World is coming to 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems to be what they're up to. That Animal Crossing update was interesting.
Well, I think most importantly, those new Zelda amiibo are hot, hot, hot with three T's. Yes.
I'm excited.
I pre-ordered mine.
Did you get the 8-bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one right there.
I want that sexy Link, but I want to find him. You know what
I
mean?
You want to go to a store?
He's like, about the thrill of the hunt.
Yeah.
Griffin's always been about the thrill of the hunt.
Right, exactly. I want him to come. I don't want him to come to me. I want to find him.
Yeah.
Those supple lips.
No, I agree.
Reaching out for that ocarina.
For that ocarina.
Mm.
Some ocarinas are tube-shaped. If they have a curvature of less than 30 degrees, it's fine. Don't worry about it, guys. It's natural.
It's just, I'm especially bummed that there's still no, like, Majora's Mask anything, but, you know, it's okay. I'm sure there will be eventually.
Yeah, it's a surprise. Yeah, I imagine maybe in the lead-up there'll be something.
Yeah.
But we shall see.
Yep. But not a whole lot of that out of that Direct, as you had said, Jeff. Mario Sports Superstars, where they're just kind of packing all the sports games for Mario into one. Kind of weird since Mario Tennis just came out like a year ago, but whatever.
That was a while ago, actually. Golf came out more recently than tennis.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you mean Tennis Ultra Smash for the Wii U?
For the Wii U.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the 3DS version.
No.
Okay.
Because the Superstars is for Wii U, oddly enough. It made itself.
Is it for Wii U?
I thought so.
Yes.
Thought it was for Wii U.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
That was a great sound.
I'm going to find out right now.
All
right,
do it. Fact check.
Fact check.
Check it. Let's see here. That's pretty much it for Nintendo.
It's
know, Jeff.
3DS.
What's that?
It's 3DS.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
Also, it has horse racing in it, guys. Can we all buy it, please?
Yes.
Yes.
I know you made a joke in regards to the Nintendo share spike, but then Nintendo also bought this JessNet. What is that about?
I saw it, but I forgot what the deal was. I can look it up, though.
Okay. What I remember about it was they essentially like bought out this company, JessNet, and made it a subsidiary of Nintendo, and it's a distribution company. So getting like more... aligning more with the rumors of, you know, cartridge based products and, you know, the staying in the realm of physical devices and less digital. So, I mean, purchasing a distribution company would mean that, you know, Nintendo would imply Nintendo is gearing up to sell a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, do you think that's for selling cartridges or... or for selling products? I mean, what do you think? What do you think is? I guess we don't know. We have no idea.
We don't know.
It's just another puzzle piece that we're trying to fit together.
Exactly. Maybe it has something to do with the scarcity that, you know, Nintendo tends to suffer from. Who knows?
We will find out soon.
Right. Or maybe it's just some weird Japanese backroom deal that was made.
It's to cover up those incriminating pictures of Miyamoto with the 24-year-old man dressed as Mario.
Oh.
Charles
Martinet is not 24.
What's that?
Charles Martinet is not 24.
He's 24 at heart.
Yeah, that's true.
He is the voice of a 24-year-old man.
Oh, God.
Ho ho! It's a me, a Mario!
I know we're on a little
wind down.
We're on a time crunch. So, is there any topics that you want to hammer out? I know that there's some big things like Palmer Luckey in the spotlight right now for his campaign nonsense. Maybe something about you wrote Vivendi trying to buy Ubisoft, or Yves Guillemot posting some weird picture about that could be implying a Beyond Good and Evil 2. Metal Gear Survive,
Metal Gear Survive looks like a big old turd pile. I really liked how Kojima was on record saying, like, I wouldn't put zombies in Metal Gear. And then people were like, wouldn't you?
Right. Oh, he's like, I wouldn't put zombies in a Metal Gear game. I think it only needs vampires. More big robots.
Yeah, only vampires, man.
Death Stranding rumors about how they just finally picked an engine and they won't disclose what it is.
Oh, God. So silly.
Yeah.
It's the XOF engine, guys. I thought the Vivendi thing was interesting because it's been kind of an undercurrent that I've seen a couple times over the years. Vivendi has been angling to take over Ubisoft for quite a while now, which would be sad because for all of Ubisoft's flaws, they have their own kind of way of doing things.
Didn't Ubisoft just like circle their wagons and like reelect Eve and company to just kind of still run the show?
So the big story of like this morning was that there was a board members meeting where they elected some new board members, and Vivendi was widely expected to potentially make a move there, but they did nothing. So the thinking now is they'll try to buy 30% of the stock and then attempt a hostile takeover. So that could be a huge shift for the gaming landscape. I don't know what would happen. For me, I guess my thoughts go to like, would that mean that Ubisoft would draw back from the console market because Vivendi would be more interested in pursuing mobile strategy? I don't know. Would that hasten the demise of consoles? that's the question that I have. If that were to happen,
I would suspect that it just means we see less of those weird little projects like Child of Light or Grow Home, like those nice little delightful things that just creep out of Ubisoft every once in a while.
Aisha Tyler would no longer be able to display her girlwood.
Rip it down.
Her necklace would be taken away.
Well, I think that's a good way to end it. You know, start with a dick, end with a dick. Let's do this again, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
We got one out.
Play some games.
For sure.
Because they're upon us.
They are upon us. What's on the horizon?
Zero Dawn. All the first-person shooters that you guys won't be playing.
Dishonored's coming soon, right?
I'm gonna play Gears. I'm definitely gonna play Gears. I'm excited.
Uh huh.
Gears of Snore, more like.
Oh, whoa. Man, low blow.
Whoa.
Gears of War, Call of Duty.
Call of Duty, Titanfall 2.
Did you see the? Did you see the retweet to pay respects?
Yeah.
That I sent you, Griffin.
Yep. There's the Mario Color Splash.
Oh, yeah. I don't care.
Oh, what? Really?
What's that?
The last game for the second to the last game for the Wii U?
I don't know. I just don't know if I care.
Dragon Quest Builders, Dishonored, Final Fantasy.
Yeah. Some of that stuff is going to be good.
Yeah.
I'm excited about Dishonored.
Anyway. You guys think The Last Guardian's going to get pushed back to 2017?
I hope not. I
already made it to December 6th, the time in which games go to die.
What was that, Griff?
That is the time in which games go to die.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm just going to be excited to play it.
Okay.
He's just happy to be here.
All right. Somebody's got to do it.
So, anyway, want to shut this puppy down?
Yep.
All right.
I'm exiting the puppy.
What are you doing to the puppy?
Exiting. Shutting.
Exiting the puppy.
Exiting the puppy.
Control-Alt-Delete the puppy.
No, always safely disconnect your hardware from your puppy.
And there's hardware in there, all right.
That's right.
So much hardware. That's why they won't let me own animals anymore.
All right, guys. This has been Boss Bro Radio episode whatever. Thanks for listening and talking. We'll see you again.
Bye. See you later.